Welcome to a bonus episode of the Top 2 Podcast. We had a great conversation during our regularly scheduled episode, and it was such a great conversation that we decided to make it its own standalone episode, not only because it was a great conversation, but because it was long as shit. So we are going to bring that episode to you now, and it is always all love between the three of us, and not everyone always agrees, but you can disagree without disrespect, and the three of us are not always going to agree on everything, and the forthcoming conversation is an example of that. So without any further ado, here is the bonus episode, the bonus conversation of Top 2. Well, Sean, let's go ahead and get to your number one topic of the week.
All right. So men are wearing nail polish, and that's not actually new. However, it's an issue now. A lot of folks who are out there in the mainstream pop culture are wearing nail polish. In particular, speaking of March Madness, Jared McCain, star guard for the Duke Blue Devils, he's the most recent to face sort of eyebrow raises, if you will, and then criticism, because he has it and he calls it a self-care routine. He says, sorry if I offended y'all, but you'll get over it. He said a self-care routine.
I love that response.
Is he decided to start painting his nails. And then he said he played well right after he did it. So he kept doing it. He said, I'm not even superstitious. I just kept doing it. And sorry if I offended. If y'all are offended by it. Caleb Williams had to respond too. Heisman Trophy winner, projected first round, first overall pick.
From USC, NFL, the real USC?
From the University of Southern California.
USC.
He faced criticism as well. And he jumped on an Instagram post from somebody who had the camera and, you know, basically kind of made a, in my opinion, like a toxic adjacent statement, basically saying like your girl like it type of thing. Which is interesting from a psychoanalysis standpoint. That's interesting that he fought a toxic attack with a toxic response.
I can see like someone saying that to me, and I say, well, ask your mom what she thinks. Your mom likes it. I can see saying like something like that.
I would say that too, but it wouldn't be to get you off of me. It would be because I want to offend you,
right,
as much as I possibly can. Exactly. It wouldn't be so you could think I'm straight. So you could think I'm heterosexual.
It would
be, I'm trying to fight you if we have to right now. So I'm about to offend you as much as I possibly can. That's where I'm working on that. But that's how I respond to stuff like that.
You said you're a work in progress, John?
I'm a work in progress. Good Lord ain't done with me yet. I'm a work in progress, man. I still fight fire with fire. That's my problem. I'll deal with it. But there are a lot of, and my point is that the Machine Gun Kellys and Harry Styles of the world who paint their nails, they don't really get flack for it, right? It's the rock star in them. Mm-hmm. But the athletes, now they're getting the eyebrow raises. They're getting the criticism. Why? My question to everybody.
They're African American.
Why? Why? Is this an issue for y'all? I'll say this. I'm going to have a transparent moment. I grew up in the Bible Belt. I grew up in the Midwest. I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri. All of the equity and inclusion conversations that folks hear me having, and I stomp and on television and media and all that stuff, standing behind it, some very unpopular, oftentimes, advocacy and allyship. I get DMs and heat for being
you go home, you gotta answer for it.
All of that. I get heat a lot of times for some of the transgender ally takes I'll have, or LGBTQ+, so on and so forth. I wasn't always that dude. I grew up in a spot where my eyebrows would have raised too. I would have looked and questioned sexuality. I would have questioned, who are you? I would have questioned a lot of stuff. You know, I've grown and moved away from that ideology, but there's a lot of people who still apparently feel that way. And why? Like, why do we have such a problem with this, whether it be in the Black community or overall, wherever y'all want to take it? Why are we caring so much about some dudes and a fashion choice?
I feel like people are so afraid of being turned gay they have such an issue whenever they see that. That's why they don't want their kids seeing examples of gay people on television. Mm. They don't want gay people in positions of power. They feel like being exposed to people being gay will turn them or their offspring gay. It just feels like this really strange inadequacy / insecurity. And it's funny, when you started your topic, you said men are way. I thought you were, it sounded like you were going to take it in a different direction. I knew you weren't, because I know you, but right. you said men are wearing nail polish. And I thought the next thing you were going to say was, and I won't stand for it.
No, that's gay.
I knew you were going to say that. But just when you first started, that's what it sounded like you were going to say. What I knew.
Plot twist.
Nah. Right. I was going to say, damn, Sean read some books over the weekend and got turned in the other direction. But yeah, when I see a man wearing nail polish, my first thought is, whatever the fuck I was thinking about before I thought I saw it, because I don't care. Yeah. I do not care. And that's the craziest thing to me about the freedom of speech crowd and also the masculine crowd is that they want to police how everybody dresses and talks and who they hang out with. Like, who cares if these dudes want to wear nail polish? It's not my cup of tea for myself, but I don't care if they want to do it. I don't care. It doesn't affect me in any way. So why do they care? I don't know. I think it's insecurity. I think it's just this weird hyper-masculine thing where you always have to prove your masculinity. But if you're really secure in your masculinity, you don't have to prove it every time you open your fucking mouth. And there's this really funny, I think his name is Neil Brennan. He wrote for Chappelle's Show.
Yeah.
This comedian, he has a stand-up on Netflix. And he was saying that he encountered some people who were afraid to have bidets. And bidets are when you, it's a thing you can attach to your toilet that shoots up water and cleans your butt after you take a doo-doo. And so he said that he's heard people saying that they don't want to have that because they don't want to be turned gay. And then he said, listen, if some water splashes on your butt and you get turned gay, then you are gay.
You are.
And so it's this really weird thing where people always have to prove their masculinity, and I don't feel the need to do that. So I don't care what people wear on their nails or if they wear eyeshadow or whatever the fuck else. And I think they should have a right to do it without being criticized for it.
Danny, what you think?
Well, I have a different take on it because it's a little different for me because I play basketball, I coached in it. And my take is,
he won't stand for it. I'm just kidding.
I remember in the 70s and the 80s, when people did things, it was whatever. You really didn't see or be influenced by it. It was just like, it was nothing. But because it wasn't in the Black community, just apparent, like people hid things. And I think a lot of people, kind of kept things to themselves regarding, if it was a man and he had, maybe he was a fashionista or he had some feminine traits or ways or painted his nails and stuff. And, I know in the inner city, a lot of times, things could get pretty hostile and volatile for you. I'm happy that has changed because nobody deserves to be attacked or brutalized or ostracized because of their choices. Right. But also those people wasn't really looking to influence other people, or they wasn't looking for this podium, so to speak. So today, I think a lot of people are just afraid, man. I think a lot of people are afraid because they see a lot of people, a lot of men in different spaces that you just never saw it because they were always hidden. Now it's becoming acceptable. And people are like, people that don't rock that way are like, hey, wait a minute. Like, they feel it kind of like being forced because kids are kids. And some people are like, because basketball players today are different than 25, 30 years ago. It's different than when Paul Pierce was in high school or Sean Kemp or Harold Miner or whatever. It's different because today a kid like Jared McCain has hundreds of thousands of followers, millions of followers. And he's doing it for a fashion statement and, to keep it going in terms of superstition or whatever. And then another player may be doing it because he may actually live that lifestyle. And I think a lot of people are like, you can't see the separation because everybody's on all these different planes. And so it's kind of, how do you explain it? Because now you got a seventh, eighth grader who's masculine, but he may say, hey, my favorite basketball player for Duke is wearing his nails painted. Hey, it's cool, but you don't know why he's wearing it. So I think, you know, that's not the part that's explained, because there's different levels to this. There's layers to this. He's wearing it for a specific reason. Then you got another player maybe painting it because he's feminine and he may be a part of the LGBTQ community. So I think as a parent, some people may be like, well, what is it? Well, we just gonna cut that off, period, because we're not wearing it for superstition or fashion and you're not part of that community. And then you're thinking to myself, you see this guy in magazines and Instagram and all over the place with the nails, but there's no explanation, mm-hmm. right? And and McCain doesn't have to give an explanation. The explanation is he got an NIL deal. So I think actually it's going to start a trend, because guys are going to start saying, if I play basketball, I'm not making no money. I'm at a small, low D1, and I got my influence is going up. I paint my nails, and somebody wants to give me 10 grand a month. Let me paint my nail. But then somebody may say, hey, the people that really paint their nails as part of the LGBT community are like, wait a minute, you're doing something that we do, that we fought so hard to come out with, and you're doing it just for show, just to get money? So it's a lot of confusion going on, and I think it's a lot of money being made off feminism, and it's a lot of corporate dollars that are being made off the LGBT community, these same people that didn't support that community 20, 30 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, and they're doing now to make dollars off people. And I think it's a lot of confusion. And hopefully in the future, man, it comes out like, hey, I'm doing this because of this. I'm not part of that community. I'm doing it because of this. And this is the reason. And then a kid could decipher why they're painting their nails. Because me personally, I would never paint my nails, no matter when I was 15 or 52 or 48. I don't do that. Why? Because I choose not to. Because for me, it's not a masculine thing to do. And I'm not into fashion like that. But I have friends that did it. When you was listening to AC/DC, you were in the acid rock, you were a rocker, they did it. And they wasn't getting the LGBTQ thing, or they wasn't being questioned. I think when black men do things like this, I think the red flag goes up and everybody just panics. And I think everybody just needs to settle down and let people do what they do, and stop criticizing and let these people live their lives. And, you know, hopefully the explanation comes out.
Well, the explanation, yeah. They shouldn't even need an explanation. Nah. They don't have to have an explanation.
And well, when you're an athlete, it's different, Avi. Your athlete is not just a regular man walking down the street.
But right? They shouldn't need an explanation either. Even as an athlete. They're getting more attention because they're athletes, but they shouldn't need to explain themselves.
No, you don't need to. You don't need to. But the people that are part of the LGBTQ community that paint their nails, you know what they're doing. And ain't nobody questioning.
I don't know what they're doing. I don't care what they're doing.
We don't.
But we know. But the people that have come out the closet, the people that are free and that are openly gay or transgender or whatever community they're part of, you know that's part of it. But when you're not, and people think you're not, and you're doing that, because painting your nails,
but that's the thing though, man. You coming out, you painting your nails, should not mean that you have to come out and say, "Oh, I'm not gay. I'm not painting my nails because I'm gay.
But it's never been something that just heterosexual men have done.
That's the problem though.
Go ahead, man.
Normalize that. Should we normalize?
Yes,
that?
Yes, we should.
Normalize and
Let me say this real quick, man.
One of the things, and we've
experienced it in our generation. This next generation, I'm seeing it. I'm in the classroom with them every day. Each subsequent generation oftentimes corrects the ills of the previous generation. This generation is going to correct some of the sins, the social sins of our generation. And I view Jared McClain, I view some of the kids on our football team, our basketball team, who do some things that I didn't even think I would ever do when I was in the locker room playing, nor anybody else of my generation, because we were shackled by certain social norms that shouldn't have existed. Just think about it. When I came home, I remember vividly when my brother and I came home from college. He was playing football at UCLA. I was playing football at San Jose State. And we came home with our ears pierced. And my generation, we had normalized that. All right. Double ears pierced. Okay. My dad looked at that. My dad looked at that similarly as this issue that we're talking about now. He attributed to femininity. And we had to have the same wrestle conversation of generational differences that he couldn't understand. We were curing some of the sins of his generation that he came to realize eventually did not mean what he thought and his generation thought, that they signified that only gay men pierced their ears. I don't care if it's left, right, or both. He saw it all the same. And we've come to realize that's not the case. That was
but
a social...
But one earring child wasn't the same as painting your nails. I was there.
It is. I was there too,
I was there too.
Danny. I'm talking about you guys are a little younger. I'm talking about 1981.
Again, Danny, we ain't 15. I understand completely. We fought the same conversations, Danny, is the point that I'm making. We fought the same.
Your nails is different than wearing two earrings.
How? They attributed it to being gay.
In South Central LA, gay bangers start wearing ears piercing, and they wouldn't consider gay because LA was rocking differently.
It's a cultural thing, Danny.
I'm gonna tell you what normalized it. Ed Bradley. Ed Bradley was the first African-American male in our culture in the 80s that had a public platform to rock it. And then Jordan came with it. It was Ed Bradley.
Normalize it across the country because we still said it was gay.
I'm talking about somebody that had a platform that was respected.
But he ain't normalize it to all black culture because we still thought it was gay.
But he was the face of it, remember? And nobody questioned Ed Bradley.
Yeah, I remembered it. Okay, no, so we did. Hey, Danny, I'm going to say you, in the Midwest, we did. We questioned Ed Bradley. We did.
We didn't question Ed Bradley in L.A.
That's what I'm saying. It's a cultural thing.
Yeah, he was like a player. We was like, oh, man, that's player, man. That's player. That's, man. And then Jordan did it, right?
Yeah, but when Jordan did it, it has started to become more normalized.
Okay, it's like.
But that's the point I'm saying. Is Caleb Williams the person to break down that door?
You know what? I'm going to be honest with you. Just seeing a trend, and I remember being a ball boy for the Clippers in the early 80s, and nobody had tattoos and nobody wore cornrows. Now, one player in the NBA in 1983 had cornrows. Nobody. The entire NBA.
Yeah.
So the first player, so you had Sprewell, you had Iverson, right? And Rodman with the tattoos. Nobody had tattoos, right? Because remember back in the day, you had a tattoo, you were military, you know, you were a biker, you were gangs. It wasn't just like normal size. The tattoos wasn't the same. You didn't have NBA players tatted up like that, okay? So what I'm saying is, when you had Iverson changed the culture. Sprewell, different guys. So what I'm saying is, I'm not saying it can't happen, but I just don't see, I don't think McCain has the same cachet as an Iverson or Ed Bradley or Jordan, right? And maybe if it was somebody different, like a Melo or LeBron.
It's not just McCain, though. It's a lot of different players.
You got NBA players doing it too, man. What's the difference, Danny?
Kid Cudi does it too. Kid Cudi
does it too. It's a social construct, Danny. It's made up. It's all made up.
What NBA player does it?
A lot of them. Kyle Kuzma does it. Shea Gilgeous. A lot of them do it as part of their outfits.
Kuzma, Jalen Green, all those guys go to Paris Fashion Week and they're part of the fashion community, so they get a pass.
It doesn't matter.
Why does that matter, Danny?
Well, I'm going to be honest, because it's layers to it. Iverson came out with the cornrows, Iverson wasn't a regular NBA player. Iverson was gangster. He wasn't no regular dude. You know what I'm saying?
Danny, will you admit that all this is a social construct? It's all made up?
It is, but it just depends who brings it out, right? A lot of the NBA players that rock the nails right now, a lot of them are really heavy into fashion, and they actually have contracts and do things with modeling companies.
It doesn't matter.
A lot of them.
But
I'm just letting you know, McCain is just, I don't know what his reasoning is, but it's reasoning for everything.
Well, I'm moving past the Jerry McCain. No, he's not a household name. I'm not saying he's going to do it. But diving further into some of what you were saying earlier.
You're saying it shouldn't be normalized, though.
I'm,
and that's,
I'm,
No, you can do. People can do whatever they do, man. But I'm not painting my nails, man.
Ain't nobody telling you to paint them.
Listen. I'm not advocating. I don't care fashion. I don't care about rock music, rap music. My son ain't painting his nails.
See, that's the problem right there.
Man. That's the thing.
That's
man.
The problem.
Avi.
My pop said that same thing to me, man. About ears pierced.
I'm not against LGBT community or nothing. It's just certain things people don't do. Everybody don't do the same thing.
When your son turns 21, you gonna stop him from painting his nails if he wants to?
Well, he can do what he want to do then. But you ain't certain things. Listen, it's certain things we couldn't do growing up, right? Did you run your house?
Well, yeah, I couldn't get my ears pierced until I left for college.
So why am I being canceled? Because I'm telling
him. Who's canceling you, bro? What are you talking about?
But I'm just telling you, you can't do certain things while you're under your parents' house.
No, I get that part. And again, man.
Whatever they want to say.
Let me be clear. Everybody. Let me be clear. I'm not diving into households. Y'all do what you want to do in your household. Yeah. I'm saying if we're zooming back out, all right, when I came into this topic, I'm talking about from a 30,000 foot viewpoint of the issue of why do we seem to care so much about it? And I didn't give my take on it, but my answer is I do believe that we are still dealing in a very much so insecure with sexuality society to where we still at a point to where, and this ain't directed towards you, Danny. Again, we having a good conversation. I think it's a good conversation, but we're still at a point to where brothers still struggle to say another dude is good looking, unless it's Denzel, where we all universally agree. And we can all say universally, you cool with saying Denzel good looking? Yeah, me too. Denzel is a good looking brother. We won't even dap up our other brothers and show love unless it is universally agreed upon. There was this video that came out a few years ago. Y'all probably saw it. That was talking about how brothers eat popsicles, and he was eating it with a knife. He was carving it with a knife.
That like it was too far, man.
Nah, but it spoke to our culture.
Mm-hmm.
It was satire, but it spoke to our culture. And we all live it every day. We're just giving our unique vantage points about it. But the common thread is that there is an insecurity in it. And I've had to wrestle with this. I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. So we got to have these conversations, and I got to actually come to terms with how I feel about it so I can understand how I position them going forward and not deal with the sins of what I dealt with. And I still kind of fight demons about how I feel about certain things. And when I take a step back and I say, why do I feel the way that I feel? Why do I feel you shouldn't do this or you shouldn't do that? And to be somebody that has studied these things and talk about these things and advocate for rights and freedom of expression and all these things, as long as it's not infringing on somebody else's rights, I've had to have some come to Jesus conversations with myself. So I could then unshackle my kids, how they move forward looking at these particular issues. And when we talk about issues of social constructs, man, they are made up. We attributed masculine and feminine to things. We said staying home, being a homemaker, and the other person going out, bringing home the bacon, quote unquote, was a masculine versus feminine thing. We determined. From the day, and I ain't gonna get too socio-cultural about it, but from the day that we born and you the little baby get a pink hat and a blue hat, we told what's masculine and what's feminine, and they all made up. And then we start attributing those things to parts of life, and we shackle people. We tell people who you're supposed to be. And when they realize that that's not natural to them, they boxed in. And then when it comes down to, I've had kids come to my office because of years of being boxed in. And I'm not talking about they're having a sexuality crossroads conversation about themselves. No, they are basically saying my parents boxed me in with their way of coming up and thinking. And now I'm realizing I'm between a rock and a hard place over something made up. They've attribute femininity to this. My pops attribute femininity to wearing earrings. I don't care if you Jordan, Ed Bradley, Dennis Rodman, anybody else. He, in his heart of hearts, felt you was hiding something. I had to check. We had to have a come to Jesus moment to to where me and my brother was about to bounce back to Cali because we couldn't come to an agreement that your generation is different, Pop. And he came around. And of course, there was all love between all of, between us. But it was a generational stopping point over something made up. He couldn't explain why he felt that way. And we couldn't explain because it was all a social construct. And I told him that to his face. And I've had conversations with many other people about made up stuff that our culture attributes masculinity and femininity to. Yeah. And I have told myself, I am not passing along those sins because my kids don't see it that way. My kids don't see it that way. They don't attribute masculinity and femininity to these things I grew up shackled and encumbered by. They don't. And it's beautiful.
Time changes everything, though.
Hold on a second.
I've never worn pink before in my life.
Hold on a second. I've never worn pink before, I've been waiting patiently. Let me say something. Hold on a second. So it is made up. And there's always different things. And you can say that time changes everything, Danny, but it doesn't change everything unless there are people who are actively, intentionally changing it. And so when you talk about the two earring thing, I remember when I was growing up in the late 80s, early 90s, that you could only wear one. You could only wear on your left ear an earring. And if you wore it on both, then you were that was considered gay. And then you couldn't wear tight clothes. And so I always tried to make sure my clothes were a certain level of baggy until I got a little older, and then baggy clothes were lame. But at first, tight clothes were gay. And as you just said, Danny, pink was considered gay. And so you're just, and the more we can continue to think of more of these examples, and it gets narrower and narrower, the things you're allowed to do if you don't want to be considered gay. And so it is, you are getting boxed in. And so, as you said, Danny, you run your household how you want to, and I'll run mine how I run mine. But I'm just saying, when I said that's a problem, I wasn't meaning that you're doing things that I'm not telling you how to do things. What I'm saying is, I feel like if we tell our kids how they have to do things, it is going to alienate them. And we don't know what our kids, especially because you and I, Danny, our sons are around the same age. They're around 2-3 years old. And we don't know what our sons are going to be like when they get older. And so when we try to, in my opinion.
In the Bible, it says, raise your child in the way you should go. And you were not far from it.
I don't know.
I came out a certain way because we were Christian people. We studied the word and we were raised like that. And that's how we came out.
That's fine. That's your belief. No. Hold on a second. Let me finish this. Let me finish this, Danny. The right way. That's your right way.
Yeah, and my right way.
That's your right way. That's not the right way.
But that's how you came out.
That's fine. Can I finish, Danny? Can I finish? That's your right way. That's not my right way. And when you say the Bible says this, I don't believe in the Bible. The Bible is written by white men.
Well, you got to follow. No, I don't.
I don't have to follow anything. Danny, can I finish? I don't have to follow anything that you want me to follow or anyone else wants me to follow.
Oh, that's fine.
I know. I'm not asking for your permission.
Yeah, it's to each their own. And devolving into a religious, and again, go for it. But a religious based debate is probably not the route we want to go either. But I hear what you're saying.
I'm not having a debate. I'm trying to get a point out, and I keep getting interrupted. Yeah. I'm saying, a lot of people said what you just said, and their kids came out whatever way that they didn't want them to. And you can't control the way your kids come out. You can try, and maybe they'll come out how you want them to come out.
Yeah, you can't.
But you can't. You can't control your kids, because at a certain point, if they come out in a way that you didn't want them to, then they're going to resent you and you're going to resent them. And that's just that's my belief. And so it's not the same as your belief. But I'm just saying, I know a lot of people who don't fuck with their parents because their parents tried to put them in a box.
Mm-hmm.
In Christianity, I'm not attacking anybody's religion. In Christianity
and Judaism, many religions. Yeah, many religions.
In Christianity, in Judaism, in Islam, in just about every major Western religion, if not every major Western religion, they don't want their kids being gay. And that is ostracized and as stigmatized. So my perspective is I'm not telling you how to do anything. My perspective is we cannot control, we can raise them with love, we can teach them what we know and what we believe. And if they turn out a certain way, then we can't control that. because I know a lot of people who are gay whose parents didn't want them to be gay and who are religious. And we can have another conversation about how the Black church handles homosexuality, but that's
a whole different conversation, brother.
So anyway, this is a great conversation.
It is, man, all from
whether or not men can or can't wear nail polish. And so, people care way too much. And it's just one thing in a long line of things that have tried to tell men what they can and cannot wear.
So clearly, if y'all been listening to the first seven or six and a half episodes and think we all agree on stuff, we don't, which is the spice of life, in my opinion. And I will also say this: at no point in time will I, nor do I want to come off that way as proselytizing to either of you or anybody. Listen, I'm not trying to sway your opinion.
Right.
I'm just giving my vantage point, and you take it for food for thought. All right. And that goes for anybody that's out there. Listen, I do firmly believe, as an educator by trade and just as a human being, it's not my job to put my beliefs on anybody. I'm going to be true and authentic to them, just as Danny has been, just as Avi has been. Be true to yourself. All right. But when it comes down to it, I'm simply going to say my vantage point and you take it for what it's worth. All right. And in these types of conversations, and we definitely going to have a follow up about a number of different things that have spawned from this conversation, parenting, cultural things. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is my jam, y'all. If you don't know, like, I fully enjoy this conversation because it's about life. It's about sociology. It's about how we have formulated our identity. Danny, Avi, it's how we formulate who we are. And many of them are social constructions. Most of them are. All right. There are social truths and hard truths. Most of our lives are social truths. They were created and they were passed down generation to generation to generation. And we collide with each other. Y'all remember that movie Crash with Ludacris? Like many years, it was a really good movie.
I don't remember that.
Ludacris, and it was like Star Trek.
It was like what's that? Tandy Newton was in it.
Yeah, it chronicled a bunch of different people's lives and how they all collided socially or whatever.
Yeah.
Great movie, by the way. Ludacris was not the star. He's just the one.
I don't remember Ludacris being in that.
Ludacris in it. Yeah. So point being is that, like, the social world is so freaking fascinating. That's why I really went into the area that I went into, is because that is who we are. That's how we create our identities. And it gets perpetuated and perpetuated. And until we stop certain cycles, right? I grew up in the church. I grew up knee deep in the church multiple times a week. And we call it breaking generational curses, right? But a lot of them generational curses ain't spiritual. They social. They social. They full on social. That was passed down from your greats to your grands to your mom and dad. And there are some things, and we should have a full on show about this. Some things that I have identified that need to be broken. Cycles need to be broken. I had these conversations with my parents about it. I'm talking about some things that were under the guise of spirituality and religiosity and just everything in between that. I think it's a real conversation that people need to have within themselves, within their households, to where you can actually break these generational curses. A lot of times we say generational curses as a buzz phrase, and we don't really do the work to inspect and understand how we're going to and what needs to be broken about them. So we pass those things along, a lot of them. And I'm guilty of it, and most of us are. We're human. But this is one of those instances, and that's why I wanted to bring it to y'all, that sparks and triggers some of those areas that we all have to inspect and search amongst us, especially when you complicate it with, like, ideals, whether they be religious based, whether they be academic based, whether they be socially based, whatever they are, man, that just complicates how we move forward with these things, man. So those are the types of conversations I love having, man. I love having them with y'all. I love having them in general. Of course, respectfully done. And agreement ain't what I'm out for at all.
No, it ain't about agreeing. It's about having good conversations. And of course, I still got love for Danny, and it ain't nothing but a conversation that we don't agree on. That's it.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
You know,
I think everybody doesn't think the same, obviously, and everybody respects everybody. But I think I think a lot of times how you think, but how you grow up and where you grew up, I think the streets dictate it because it's about survival. So regardless of what mom and dad may think, when you get in the streets and you're, because everybody knows Los Angeles is the gang capital of the world. It's more gangs per capita than any place in the world. And at the same time, when you're in those streets in the 80s, which was the height of the gang culture here in Los Angeles, and you're on those buses and you're walking down those streets, there's certain things that you had to do regardless of what mom and dad said so you can get home safely because they weren't there fighting for you. And it was sad, but, you know, you couldn't wear Vans, to shoes Vans in L.A. because if you wore Vans, Ocean Pacific, or if you wore your belt a certain way, the gangs would say you're a white boy. You had your backpack, you were a schoolboy. You had a pink shirt, you were gay, this and
yeah.
that.
Yeah, we couldn't wear British nice.
So regardless of what people say, a lot of times adults was just trying to keep their kids safe, not about, you know, being so over analytical and academic about things and religious about things. I'm just trying to get my black baby home because being a black teenage boy in L.A. and Los Angeles with these gangs is a lot different than a lot of places around America. And it's just certain things, regardless if you don't want to say this and that, we're trying to do things. A lot of times my mom did things to protect me. Like my mother never bought us anything red in my entire life. From kindergarten up to grown men, my mother didn't allow red in our house at all. Not one piece of clothing. But if you tell somebody that from New York or some Miami, they're going to say, they're going to talk about you. Oh, y'all crazy. What are you talking about? But they don't understand it. So a lot of things may not be, oh, I'm against LGBT or I'm against that. How about I'm just trying to get my baby home? How am I safely? Because it's not that I didn't want to wear pink. I didn't say that. But if I would wore pink going to the number one school in all of the West Coast, Crenshaw High School, if I wore pink playing on the basketball team in the 80s, basketball or no basketball, I would have got my ass beat by the Rolling 60 Crips soon as I got to school. That's facts. So it's just certain things. I couldn't be a Jerry McCain if I wanted to be a Jerry McCain. You couldn't even rock a skateboard in the hood because dudes would call you a white boy. They wasn't rolling. We wasn't rocking skateboards. If they heard you listening to Duran Duran, if they heard you listening to Twisted Sister or anything, you was going to get you had to listen to black rap music. It was crazy. So all I'm saying is I'm trying to make sure, you know, you protect the kids. And that's why certain people send their kids to certain schools. That's why certain people send them in diversity in different areas. Because unfortunately, in a lot of our communities, a lot of things are still not accepted, but things are too, right? So the McCain thing is not something that's going to get you beat up in South LA right now. It's not happening. You know what I'm saying? Because you got other young men doing it. I don't know why they're doing it. That's their problem.
Things are evolving.
It's some things that you couldn't do. You couldn't wear khakis. You couldn't crip walk. If somebody saw you,
You still can't crip walk.
Because they were like, you're not from this set. You're not allowed to do that. Now you got rappers and stars and everybody doing it, right? So all I'm saying is certain things you got to kind of spoon feed your kids and you still got to protect them from doing because of where you may live or how they get to school. You don't know. So it's not
that's absolutely true.
It's not the fact that you're just boxing them in, because when I got older, my mother didn't say anything, because when I first wore my red piece of clothing, I played for UNLV. That was the school colors. But I was scared to wear when I came at home. So my mother didn't say nothing, but she waited till she felt I was safe and could hold my own. But before that, she wasn't going to let me put myself in a compromising situation. So sometimes you may live in a certain place where if you let your son paint your nails, he may not get home without getting jumped. And it's not the fact that you're against this and fashion and LGBT and all this stuff. You're boxing him in and all that stuff. How about I'm just trying to get my baby home? So we got to look at stuff like that, because I think where you live and how you live and how you get your son or daughter to and from school plays a big part in how you're going to allow them to dress and how you're going to allow them to move, because everybody hasn't accepted everything as of yet. But I think
And that's part of our jobs as guardians and parents is to know those nuances of it all.
Right.
My,
and also
my point is the mindset versus the day to day aren't mutually exclusive, but they aren't the same, in my opinion. I train my kids to do exactly what you just mentioned for the here and now. But I also let them know this ain't right. is necessary. Right versus necessary are two different things. We grew up, and oftentimes that was conflated of what was right and what was necessary. It wasn't always explained to us what was necessary versus right. So many of us went on thinking that the necessary was always right. Life should be that way. It ain't. It shouldn't. It shouldn't be. I should be able to wear British Knights if I want to, but I can't.
Yeah, and that's a good point. I'm just saying, like, I totally receive that and accept that. And we have to protect our babies. And it's not like I'm saying I'm not going to teach them anything. I'm going to tell them, like, listen, if you decide to do this, then this is what the consequences are likely going to be. And we also have to understand we have to protect our children from depression. And kids commit suicide now. And especially when they feel like they can't be what they want to be. That's a big thing, a leading cause of death and among trans youth and maybe even LGBTQ youth in general is suicide. So, I mean, that's the thing that we have to be aware of. And if we don't want our kids to do a certain something, then we have to rationalize it and tell them, like you said, Sean, it's because it's necessary, not because it's right, not because I don't want you to express yourself. It's because I'm trying to protect you for this reason or that reason. And so we have to be mindful of also protecting them from themselves.
True.
But we ran super long. So this is definitely the conversation. Thanks for joining us. We will be back. We come out new episodes every Monday. Like and follow the channel. Really appreciate you and getting to spend some time with you today. So see you next time.
Peace.